Hey, everybody, it's Terry McDougall, and boy, do I have a treat for you today. I'm bringing you Jennifer Jones, also known as JJ, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Product Development Strategy at Tidy Products, which is a medical product company. And we talked a lot about a whole range of topics, but we dug into how to be a good leader who's empathetic, but also who keeps things moving even during very difficult times like what we've experienced during the pandemic. And Jennifer's team has accomplished a lot, both in terms of assisting in the battle against COVID, because they do manufacture a lot of the medical supplies and equipment that frontline caregivers are using as they battle COVID, but they've also innovated and launched new products during the pandemic. Jennifer and her team have supported their employees during this time. And I'm just thrilled to bring her to you because I think that she's going to give us a frontline view of what goes on in companies that are supporting the battle against COVID. But also, she's going to demonstrate how somebody can be a great and empathetic leader during very difficult times. And speaking of difficult times, if you're finding that you're at a crossroads, you're having a hard time figuring out what direction to go in with your career or as a leader or keeping your team motivated and cared for, please reach out to me and set up a free, no obligation exploratory call. I'd be happy to talk to you to see if there are ways that maybe we can get you on the right path so that you and your team are tapping into your fullest potential without burning out. So now, without further ado, let the mambo begin. Welcome to Marketing Mambo with your host, Terry McDougall. It's the fun and fast podcast where we chat with marketing movers and shakers from around the globe. Hey, everybody, it's Terry McDougall with another episode of Marketing Mambo. And I am honored to have as our guest today Jennifer Jones. She is the VP of Marketing at Tidy Products. She leads global marketing and product development strategy. Tidy is a medical products company whose purpose is to support caregivers and protect patients. Boy, nothing could be more relevant than what you do. Right, so Jennifer, right. Or JJ, yeah. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm pretty excited about our conversation today. I've heard so much and seen so many of your podcasts today, so I'm honored to be able to hang out with you for a little while. This morning, we've been doing.
I am really honored to have you, and especially because we're both B2B marketers.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Obviously in different verticals, but I think that there's a lot of commonalities, and I was really excited to have you also because I feel like what you do and what you've faced over the last, say, close to 2 years now is on the front line of what we're all experiencing in the medical products industry. How has that been?
Yeah, it's funny, Terry. I mean, I've literally only been in healthcare my entire career. So this is the only industry I know. And I would tell you that throughout certain pockets of my career, it has been really rewarding to be hand in hand with our clinicians across the globe, and specifically even now in the United States. So it's always been a very giving and rewarding role and rewarding job. I would say the last 2 years, our purpose and what we do couldn't have been more evident, right? And I would say that the interesting challenge is that historically, when things have happened, we've still been able to engage with our customers in person directly. And this is probably the first time in my entire career where our ability to support our customers had to change drastically. For the better part of a year, from a marketing standpoint, I could not go into a hospital because either they wouldn't let me or it was not safe for me to do so. So my ability to engage with the end customer was different. And so I had to learn and experience their current environment in a very different way. We had to experiment with things like this. How do we have web conferences with nurses that are literally just getting off of work and sharing with us what's happening behind the doors? And so I think that in and of itself made this time frame different and unique. But then when I look at the media and see people wearing eye protection or potentially seeing someone wear a blue gown, it is possible that they were wearing something that we produced, and it couldn't have been more rewarding through that journey. So I would say definitely a different time, but my career and our purpose to support caregivers and protect patients literally was extremely evident since the pandemic started.
Yeah, it's funny about how we can take for granted things that in normal times we'd probably never think about. Like, as somebody who's never worked in healthcare, I didn't know what PPE was. But of course, we all know what that is now. And certainly, you probably never really thought that the demand for something as basic as what you guys produce would spike the way that it did over the last 22 months.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Terry. I mean, I think strategically as a business, our focus was not PPE. I'll just be very frank. I mean, we had an eye protection. So call it the face shields that you see the folks were using to protect their eyes, but also their masks and be able to wear them for an extended period of time. We had that segment in our business, but it really was not our primary focus. And overnight, when we looked at what was on our wall as our mission to support caregivers and protect patients, we literally had to make a decision, really driven by the vision of our CEO, to pivot our focus pretty quickly to say, okay, let's one, increase the availability of eye protection, which took a lot of work from our operations standpoint. But then let's take the capabilities that we have and let's start making gowns, because there was clearly a need in the industry and we had the capability. And if we were going to deliver on our purpose, we needed to make that shift. So I think the beauty of this organization is that we literally are a very agile organization. It wasn't something we discovered when the pandemic hit. So it allowed us to flex pretty quickly. And then thankfully, we had those capabilities in our facility and our expertise that we could really respond to the needs of our customers. And so I agree with you. Something as simple as PPE, again, that we take for granted. So many things we took for granted. I think that the pandemic really showed us how important it was. That PPE dynamic and the availability of it became a pretty critical thing that I'm grateful that we had the opportunity to help solve that problem.
Yeah, I really think that that's really sort of at the core of marketing's role within organizations,
Absolutely.
Too, is just to have the finger on the pulse and to Absolutely. Say, how do we need to adapt to meet the needs of our customers?
That's right. Yeah, and I would say, you know, Terry, I think for us, it's been the PPE was a big pivot. But the other part is that we have products that help to support customers and our clinicians to help protect patients from falling in a hospital environment. And as more patients started showing up in this environment, and it's an interesting dynamic. So think about this. When a loved one goes in the hospital, typically someone is there, a parent or a husband or a spouse is in the room with that patient. And so they actually in that environment help to provide care and support for the patient while they're in the hospital. Well, when the pandemic hit, literally it took that net of caregivers in the hospital environment and it removed them out of the hospital. So now it put more pressure on nurses and staff to provide the support that family members provided in a hospital environment. So all of that created more pressure around monitoring patients and ensuring that they were safe and the census was high and the number of clinicians was compressed. So in that time frame, we knew we needed to continue to advance our portfolio from a falls prevention perspective. Mm-hmm. But how do you do that if you can't go in and observe? How do you do that when all of your folks that do the work are all sitting in their homes? Mm-hmm. And so as a leader, really challenging my team to think outside the box, try new things. Let's try doing voice of customer virtually. Let's try just having conversations with customers and see if they can storytell enough for us to go and ideate. How do we equip every engineer with the products that they need in their home so they can create? And I think for me, the amazing part of the team is that through this time frame, Terry, we have developed and launched two different products. We have developed and we're in beta testing for a couple of other products. We did that literally since COVID started, when we weren't in an office together, most people were in their homes, and we could not engage with clinicians in person. Mm-hmm. So I think the flexibility, not just from pivoting our focus from a product perspective, but even pivoting how we might even engage with customers and develop, has really been a difference for this organization. I'm super proud of what the team has accomplished.
Well, it sounds like you have every right to be proud of what they've accomplished. And it is interesting to me how when crisis hits, so often it really empowers people to really go above and beyond.
For sure.
And I think that it's been amazing. Like an example that I've used since the beginning of the lockdown is how, for example, we're talking on Zoom right now, that I was aware of Zoom. I had mm-hmm. used Zoom a fair mm-hmm. amount, but I know a lot of people had never even heard of it, right? Mm-hmm. But because there was no other option, all mm-hmm. of a sudden, people like my 80-year-old in-laws are yeah. learning how to Zoom,
of right? course.
And we did it out of necessity.
Yeah, obviously. We did. We absolutely did.
And yep. it is interesting to me about how innovative mm-hmm. we can be when we're forced to be, right?
For sure.
And
for
it's,
sure.
There was no option for you guys to just like twiddle your thumbs and just be like, oh, well, we can't go into the hospital. So therefore,
yeah.
we're not
going to. We're just going to hang out and not do anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that's just amazing for me and just makes me really humbled as a leader is all of this work happened when more than half of my folks have kids at home, right? Mm-hmm. Or more than, you know, 90% of my team, like their spouses or their family members were also in the house working and they spent days on end in their homes. And so they still found a way to press through all of that because that was a lot. I mean, I had, at that time he was two, trying to potty train him. It's a whole other story. But I had a little guy and that was hard. And then the emotion mm-hmm. of the pandemic and not really understanding your path forward, like all of that, coupled with not being able to do the work the way we used to do it. And the fact that the team could push through that and just do amazing things, it shows you the power of people and creativity and willing to think differently and thinking again. All of that has just been, it's just been amazing and fascinating to watch. For sure.
Well, it's great that you recognize the challenges that people had outside of work. And what I'm yeah. curious about is how you as a leader, I mean, you just mentioned that you were potty training while you were working from home yeah. with your spouse and yeah. leading all of these folks to yeah. do new and innovative things for yeah. Tidy. But what were some of the lessons that you learned or some of the things that you used as guidance to lead in this time of incredible uncertainty?
Yeah, really, really good question, Terry. So I think a couple of things. One, I think everyone being in their home environment brought more humanity to the people that you work with and just realness and authenticity. And I think through that, and I've never been a leader that has like held who I am as a secret, but I think being more transparent about, hey, here's my struggle. Like, it's been really hard to parent, right, in this environment. I'm really struggling with being locked down. So being very transparent with my team, I think gave them permission to also say, I don't have to be perfect. So I think as a leader, I really did my best to try to say, like, I'm struggling just as much as you are. I think the other part for me in leading in this environment is encouraging, bring your kids in, like, let's see the kids on Zoom. And it wasn't just like, let me check the box, but I really wanted you to know it's okay that maybe your daughter is right behind you on her call for the class. Like, that's a gift that we actually get to see into lives. So trying to encourage that and welcoming, I think two babies born during the pandemic, actually three babies born since we've been on quarantine. Like, that was a gift to see these brand new babies and those parents being able to, because I was, you know, I had my baby, the whole other story about how he showed up, but I know what it means to like drop your little one off at daycare and going into the office. But it was a gift that those babies were like right next to them. And mm-hmm. I think for that, it was awesome to see. I think the other thing as a leader in this environment is I try to be as present as I could be. When you're dealing with like, even in an office environment, you can easily be in your office all day and never see your people, right? And I think with the Teams environment, it made it a lot easier for me just to drop in on meetings and just be an observer. I loved, I was sitting in a networking session recently, and one lady said, like, what this did is it made everyone square the same size. So even though I'm the leader showing up, I had the same size real estate as everyone else. And so I think that being more present, I feel through the pandemic, I've been more engaged with my team's work because quite frankly, it's a lot easier, right? I'm not stuck in an office or stuck in a boardroom all day. I could easily pop in and out of the sessions. And I think the last thing that was important for leading through this process was actually giving the team permission to take a break. What I saw very early on is people were literally on Teams calls or Zoom calls, literally from 8:30 until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's a lot. This constant engagement was a lot. And so we implemented what we called a department pause. And it was from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. I locked everyone's calendar out. It was on their calendar. Listen, if that meant it was time that you wanted to get caught up on work, your call, if you wanted to go work out, you wanted to go make dinner, like use it as a time to break away from the norm. I think that also helped to give people permission, because I think some folks had a higher level of guilt, like I'm working from home, like I have to be overly present, because if I'm not, people are going to question whether or not I'm working. And so really giving people permission to take that time, I think, was another important part of leading through this pandemic.
Well, it sounds like they're very lucky to have you, because what I was hearing is that authenticity is important to you, that you weren't making like a big wall between, hey, JJ, the marketing executive, and JJ, the human being and the mom and the wife and the family member. Mm-hmm. And by you showing up very authentically, you were giving permission to other people to be like, hey, you don't need to be like all polished and perfect. And, you know, it's funny because I see that a lot in my coaching, because I work with a lot of high achieving people and they're always driving towards the optimum. And as much as that might be a driver for us, it can be an inhibitor sometimes too, because there can be like a lot of self-judgment about like, oh, I'm not good enough. And the reality is that you can have the greatest idea and it is never going to be perfect.
That's right.
There's
no such thing.
Absolutely. And to make it okay for people to come out and try things and sometimes to fail. But I have this saying about even when we're falling on our face, we're still moving forward. Right. And so sometimes that's what it takes. It takes like tripping and falling and then being like, oh, now I learned what not to do. Right. But it makes it okay for people to be like, okay, I'm going to try.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, because I think that's one of the gifts of the pandemic, right? So much of our lives every day was like, there were no guarantees, right? You know, you didn't know, you could even plan a vacation because you didn't know if like we were going to be able to fly out of the country. You didn't even know like if that particular state was going to accept your state. I mean, every day was a question. And so I think for me, it created a, let's go try it. And if it fails, we can do something else. And so I think the level of experimentation and taking risk and learning through them. And if I think about from a marketing perspective, how we engage with customers literally changed overnight, right? Mm-hmm. I had 100+ salespeople that were engaging with customers directly every day for years, literally could not leave their homes. And they were for many, many years, even before I joined Tidy, our conduit to connecting with customers.
Yeah.
And they, even for them, they could not break past the doors of the hospital.
Right.
So how we engage with customers changed overnight. And I tell people all the time, in the med device environment, consumer folks have figured out how to connect with end users well. Right. I envy Apple. I envy car dealerships that have figured out how to engage with us as consumers directly, so that when I show up in the store, I already know what I want. But in the healthcare environment, we've always been at the mercy of people delivering our message. And so we're at a point now where we have to get comfortable with experimenting with a lot of different things, social media, blog posts, new web engagement, email campaigns. These are all brand new things for us. Mm-hmm. And so I think what the pandemic did for at least me as a leader is, because no one knew what the next step was going to be, it made us all humble enough to say, I don't know. Let me get comfortable with trying things and failing, but knowing in my failure, I'm going to learn. And that, I think, has created the pathway for us to figure out, how do we connect with customers in this new environment? If I knew that, Terry, how do we engage with healthcare customers without people? I would be a billionaire. I haven't figured it out yet, right? We haven't figured it out yet. But we're going to learn our way forward through a lot of experimentation. And I think the pandemic made it easier for people to be okay with saying, I don't know.
Right. I agree with you. And as you were talking about that, I was thinking back to my time in financial services, being a B2B marketer. Mm-hmm. And much like you, we relied extremely heavily on sales to get that point of view of the customers, because in B2B, typically there's larger but fewer customers, right? Like, it's big enterprises usually that you're doing business with. And so it's not like in consumer marketing, oh, you can do like a focus group, or you can do surveys or something like that, but it's mass marketing, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not mass marketing. It's very relationship based or account based marketing, where it's usually there's a gatekeeper, right? That customer is very important and the salesperson has the relationship. But I also think that something that's really interesting about this is that B2C marketing over the years, it used to be like, say, look back 50 years,
right.
It was the salesperson in the store,
yes.
that was, yes. was actually doing the selling. And as technology has advanced, more and more of that sales process or that journey to buy,
yes.
has,
yes.
fallen on marketing, right? Yes. We're educating people.
Absolutely.
So to your point, like when you're going to the car dealership, you know exactly what you want. You've,
right.
configured it online, and
right.
you've,
yep.
checked pricing, and you're going in and saying, I want this exact car for this exact price.
Right.
And there's a lot less onus on the salesperson, right?
Right? Yeah.
I think that what you described is, it sounds like this is an opportunity for marketing to,
yeah.
move into an area that there's been, I'm not going to say resistance, because salespeople can go in and meet directly with these large scale buyers, that they've owned a lot more of the responsibility for that relationship. So do you think that this is something that marketing is going to be able to continue to own this ground and maybe even advance? Like,
yeah.
how?
Yeah, no.
What do you see?
Because in case some of my sales peers watch this podcast, I want to be clear. I definitely believe there is a long-term role.
Absolutely.
For a sales resource in the process. You know, and I think I'll tell you where I'm at, Terry, specifically in the healthcare environment. And I'll just focus on the United States, right? I tell my team all the time, please be patient with my impatience. I am now overly sensitive to the fact that there are over 6,000 hospitals in the United States of America, that I believe with conviction that there will always be a role for sales in our process of engaging with healthcare customers. That 100%, I will never change my stance on that, at least as it stands today. What I am growing, I tell my team, be patient with my impatience. I am growing impatient with the fact that there are 6,000 hospitals just in the United States of America that I believe with conviction that we have products in our portfolio that they should know about. And so now the question for me is, like, how does my organization create more awareness to our solutions so that when the rep does get access, because let's be clear, even at this point in time, access is still fluid. It depends on the state of the virus. It depends on the sensitivity of the hospital. They may have had access 2 weeks ago, and that could change today. So when our rep gets access to a customer, I don't want them starting from ground zero. I want them to have a customer that is informed of the problem they need to solve. They know that we can solve it, and they may even have an idea of how we can solve it. And really, the rep's job is to help them get across the finish line, mm-hmm. and close the deal. So
yep.
that, to me, is I think, the opportunity. I think the challenge, though, is from a med device perspective, we have not. So my med device marketers might disagree. I don't think we've done that well. I don't think we've yet figured out how to engage with multiple millions of clinicians. Right? And identifying who the right buyer is to then get content to them or engage with them to help them on the journey so that when the rep shows up, they're not starting from ground zero. We haven't figured that out. So what it makes me excited is, while if we can, we could change the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that looks like yet. So that's where I say it's really going to be focused on a lot of experimentation, a lot of engagement with the end user, and we're going to learn and adjust as rapidly as we can. Because I do believe there's a way we can do it. I can't tell you what the path forward is, but I am 100% impatient with the fact that I don't know how to effectively engage with 6,000 hospitals. And then if you give me the entire globe, I'm completely overwhelmed. So we're going to start with the United States first. And if we figure that out, then we'll go beyond. But that, to me, is the opportunity for marketing specifically in med device.
I think that that's the opportunity for a lot of B2B marketers, because I can relate to so much of what you're saying. But thinking about it in my former role in financial services, and that if you can really empower the salespeople by getting the mental shelf space with,
yes.
the customers,
yes. really
so that when the salesperson, when they're taking it that last mile, mm-hmm. that their customers are there with them, that they,
right.
really can use the time with the customer, because that's very valuable,
that's
extremely valuable time. And to have to go in and introduce the brand and introduce the product,
that's
portfolio,
right.
that's time consuming.
Too much time, yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
so if people are already sort of, I know your brand, I trust your brand, mm-hmm. I know what my needs are, I know where mm-hmm. that intersects with what you offer, and then the salesperson can just really focus a lot more on finding the right solution and
that's
closing
right.
that sale.
That's it.
I've actually had a number of people on Marketing Mambo that are sales trainers, because I'm super interested in how sales and marketing can work more effectively together. Yeah, and as you're talking, I'm just imagining, like, I mean, this is my nirvana. Like, if I think about marketing, is like, how can sales and marketing just be totally hand in glove?
Absolutely.
How can they create that really trusting relationship where they're open about each other's needs and that they take the time to build those relationships so it is a really productive relationship? So one of the things that I noticed about your LinkedIn profile is that you talk about how you believe that your sales background has contributed to your success as a marketing leader.
For sure.
And I'm wondering if you can talk about what did you do early in your career that was sales related and how that has empowered you to be more effective from a marketing standpoint?
Yeah. Thanks, Terry. So I have a bias. Some of my folks on my team will have heard this before. I think a marketer that comes to me that started in sales just arrives at the role very differently, because I think whenever you are at the mercy of how effectively you can communicate to someone to close a deal and basically make a living, it really forces you to listen more closely and really understand the needs of your customer. And then it really forces you to be succinct in your communication to ensure that you can get that customer to buy what you want. So I think those two skills, I think, are critical to a marketer. Hear the need and then be able to articulate, I can solve your problem. If you can do that well, I think that's the foundation of marketing. And there's no better way to do that than when your paycheck is tied to it, right? So I started my career shortly out of college after spending a little bit of time in operations and inside sales. And it was calling on small hospitals in the state of Michigan. Most of them had no more than 10 beds. And really having to convince someone to, one, answer the phone and then hang on the phone with me long enough to actually hear what I had to say. So I think that was like my entree into sales and really my challenge of like more effectively communicating. And after about a year and a half of that, then I went into the field and I sold into larger hospitals to include a lot of the VAs here in Illinois. And so, again, I think having had that experience of engaging directly with customers was critical to, one, me realizing that I wanted to stay connected to customers and delivering value to them. But I wanted to be, this, my younger self wanted to be the one making the decision. So if I saw a problem in the hospital, I didn't want to have to like call someone and say, hey, here's what I heard. I wanted to actually be the one to fix it. So that's really how I ended up in marketing out of sales. And then I think coming into marketing out of sales, it makes me sensitive to the fact that I had been the recipient of bad marketing, right? I had been the recipient of products that weren't well tested, products that we really didn't understand the problem we were solving, and trying to figure that out on the fly and overcoming like not being well equipped. So I think really focusing in on making sure we really understand the needs of the customer and building product accordingly, I think has helped me guide the team in that direction. I think the other part is you mentioned the sales and marketing hand in glove, and it'd be nice if we're kind of more symbiotic and not sometimes adversarial. And I think sometimes for me as a marketer, having that sales beginning reminds me when things might be going awry. Like, what am I missing, right? Mm-hmm. Recently had a dynamic here where it's like, okay, let me put myself back in the shoes of a rep to understand why we keep missing each other. I don't get it right all the time, but it at least helps to kind of ground me back to the Guardian. We talked about voices earlier. It grounds me in history so that I can really help guide the team forward. So I think that dynamic and that experience has really helped me. You mentioned this handoff. Now I'm like, having been a rep, again, to go back to the 6,000 hospitals, I would have loved to have had someone do all the awareness for me up front. And when I showed up at the hospital, there were five people waiting to talk to me about this. It would have made my life so much easier. So that just makes me more focused on like, how do we make the life easier for the reps? They could just be closing deals and moving on to the next account. So I think all of that just reminds me of that value, because again, my career started in sales. I think we still need that function, but I want to make the most effective and most efficient. And I think marketing can really help there.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm super passionate about marketing, and I absolutely love salespeople too. And you talked about sometimes there being a little conflict between sales and marketing. And I actually think there's a lot of richness if we have the courage to explore that.
Yep,
I think that the answers to the challenges that we're facing are usually right there in the middle of that conflict, because it's not that either side is right or wrong.
That's right.
Each side has, or each partner, I should say, has a perspective that's yes. meaningful. Yes. And yes. if we can kind of reframe the conflict yes. and really look at it and realize that like both sides want the best for the uh-huh. customer, uh-huh. but come to the table with different skill sets, that we can imagine ways that we can work together to make that happen. And I think it's really critical too that a lot of times the issue is really lack of understanding, and that leads to maybe not the level of trust that's required that's right. to work that's together right. effectively. So I think it's fantastic that you can understand what each side of that equation might be thinking about and smoothing that over so that there is a lot more understanding, maybe even intuitive understanding of what the needs are, and you can build those solutions. Because actually, obviously, marketing and sales can both be very tough roles. They're both areas that require a tremendous amount of specialized training.
Yes.
And yes. I have seen often in marketing that people can sometimes get into like a routine, right? Because there's a lot of stuff that we do, like, oh, I'm going to like mm-hmm. put a new landing page up, yes. or I'm going yep. to
make another brochure.
Uh-huh. Right? And we're uh-huh. just doing it sort of like through rote
That's
rather
right.
than being very present and saying, has anything changed here?
That's right.
Yeah. Is there feedback that I need to take into consideration as I'm looking this? And can I look at it anew mm-hmm. and maybe put something in here that's going to have meaning for the people that I'm sending it to rather than just doing the same old, same old? Mm-hmm. And I think that that sometimes can be a pitfall for marketers, that they're
yes.
just like,
yes.
this is how we've always done it.
Yeah, it's so much richness in what you just said, Terry. I think a couple of things that spurred while you were talking through this. One, I think that a lot of times and this is like even like a current, like recent epiphany. So I haven't been mm-hmm. guided by this my entire career. A lot of times the marketing and sales miss when they miss each other is because their focus is different. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'll go back to I'm telling my team I'm chasing the 6,000, right? In one moment as a marketer, I'm thinking about the 6,000 hospitals. Mm-hmm. At that same moment, my sales leader of a particular team is thinking about the 50 hospitals that each one of their reps might be in, yeah. in that moment, right?
Yes.
Two different focus points, focusing on awareness, education, this broad messaging, all that. And they're focusing on, I just want to close the deal.
Yep.
Well, what you need in those two environments is very different.
Right.
And so if we're not conscious of our focus, which I would admit, like we've had some recent struggles where we're trying to hit the masses, but we're missing the hand-to-hand combat that's mm-hmm. happening in the account.
Yes.
And so we've got to reframe our focus so we don't miss each other. So I think that's one of the areas where we end up missing each other. And I love what you said about the marketers. And this is what I've been really forcing my team, especially on the med device side, because it's the only industry I've worked on, so I'm sure that this resonates in other industries. Because med device marketers have had the luxury of people walking into an account and massaging, changing, delivering their message, we haven't always been pressured to make sure that it was right because mm-hmm. we had a filter.
Yeah.
So now the challenge is like, let's just not create another brochure for brochure's sake, but let's make sure we're actually delivering what our customers want to hear. And what we've heard a lot is, tell me what ABC Hospital is doing with this technology down the street. But we keep producing brochures that give them features and benefits of a product, and they don't
yeah.
even know its application.
Yeah,
so,
because
we're so used to that. And I'm like, guys, go get the story. If you can go get the story and the experience, people buy that. That's how we buy. So just to drop somebody a brochure and say, it's going to do these four or five things, and here's the feature, like that doesn't matter if I don't understand how it's solving a problem. And you can yeah. only do that through experience.
Yeah, I agree. And that example that you're talking about, I can relate to that very much, having worked in financial services and often mm-hmm. supported some exotic products, right? That
sure.
sometimes it's like, you can't quite get your head around it, right? But you kind of assume, which we know what assume
yes.
happens when we assume,
yes.
is that we can assume like, oh, I understand this. And sometimes what can happen is the salespeople actually stop believing
uh-huh.
in the marketing partnership, that they just
yes.
say to themselves, I guess I'm just going to have to do it myself.
Absolutely.
Because they're just putting out this stuff that is not relevant. And mm-hmm. so then they'll have their assistant, or they'll try to do something on their own, or they'll just bootstrap it.
Yes.
And I think having the courage as a marketer to go into that and be like, no, really, tell me, give it to me
yes.
straight.
What are we missing?
Crap. You know, what are we missing? Right. I can take it, you know, give it to me straight. Like, what can we do to improve this? Where are we missing the mark? Like, that is the rich place where you're going to find the opportunity for marketing to make a true difference, and also to build trust with sales so that they're willing to come and be like, hey, you know, you guys, this isn't quite meeting the mark. Right. I want to trust you as a partner to share the feedback, because I believe that if I'm taking the time to do this, that you'll come up with something that's going to meet my needs and it's going to help us sell, right? And going back to something that you were saying a little bit earlier, and I've thought about this a lot over the years, is when you were talking about the different focal points for sales and marketing. Marketing is more long-term focused, right? We're all about building a long-term relationship, building a brand, having an impact on people's perceptions of what the company does and the trust level and all of that. Overall, right? Mm-hmm. And sales is like, can I make my numbers this quarter? Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And there's a natural conflict there. Yes. There's some natural tension there. Yes. And I do think that sometimes an unwillingness to step into that tension can cause some dysfunction.
Yep.
And I think that if we can realize, like, this is actually a healthy tension, mm-hmm. right? Because one part of the organization is looking at long term. The other is looking at short-term revenue generation, getting the dollars into the organization. And we have to work together.
We have to.
If we try to do it separately, neither of us is going to be as effective as could be. But anyway, like as we're talking about this, I'm getting so excited because I love that. I love it so much.
But I think the thing is, you know, there's humility that has to play a part, right? And and the humility on both sides. But I, being the marketer, I'm more conscious of our side. Like sometimes we see such a big picture that we forget that we still have to make money this year, right? Like, and we still need to close the revenue goal like this year.
Yes.
And so we have to straddle the fence to make sure that we're doing that well. And I think the other part is that relationships are built in time and in experience. And so, and the rep is such a critical part of the trust that hospital in my environment has with our brand.
Yes.
And so we have to make sure that they are effectively equipped so they can continue to build that relationship one hospital at a time. And so I think that's the side that we've got to balance as a marketing organization, because if we're not doing this effectively, like the one hospital at a time, our story falls flat on the broader scale.
Right.
And I think that's the dance that we have to make sure we get right.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And I think one of the weaknesses sometimes that can cause that dysfunction is that marketing is only maintaining that 30,000 foot view, and they're not occasionally zooming in to, like you said, the hand-to-hand combat to say, like, is there something that you need at this level, right? And then connecting the dots throughout the whole journey. So anyway, boy, I have been loving this conversation. There's nothing better than getting into the meaty goodness of sales and marketing.
Yeah.
And also, like, I'm fascinated by what you guys have been facing and how you've adapted and have been able to be successful in spite of all of the myriad challenges within your industry. And then, of course, just what's going on in the workplace in general. So I want to ask you, as we're getting ready to wrap up, what words of advice would you have for other marketing leaders out there, both about marketing, but also just as a leader? What advice would you have for people on how to motivate and continue to work in this challenging environment?
Yeah. So I think continue to remain authentic, right? I mean, this environment, if it hasn't given you the opportunity to be your real self in all facets of your life, I think you've missed the gift of the time. So walk in authenticity. All of us are navigating through a very similar pandemic. There's no need for you to look or feel like you've got it all together, right? So I think lead from an authentic spot. I think from a marketing perspective, especially if you're leading marketers, I think the one thing that I had to realize probably a couple of years ago is, like, I've already had the opportunity to manage a product line. I've already had the opportunity to launch stuff. Like, I've done that. Now my job is to equip the next generation of marketers. And so I tell my team, like, I'm pushing you in ways that I have no idea how you're going to solve the problem. I've never done it, but I'm challenging you because I believe this is going to be a part of your own personal growth. And so get out of the way, right? Just because you were successful and you've done all these great things, like, this is a new day. Your job is to support and equip those people mm-hmm. to do their very best work. I'd say that my purpose here is to clear the way so greatness can come forth. That's my job, is just clear the way. I've already done the work. It's really about really allowing someone else to just experience the beauty of marketing. So as a marketing leader, just really support and equip. And I think the last part in the supporting and equipping is giving people permission to experiment, learn, and move forward, and challenge them to do it as fast as you can. What can you do like right away to go learn fast? But give them that permission, because I think it's the only way we're going to get innovation, especially in this environment. It's the only way that we're going to see new things break forth. And if we don't give folks that permission and then get out of their way, I think we will stifle innovation and growth. So I just would say, be your true self and get out the way.
Yes, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I really think what you're saying there is that make it safe yes. for people to tap into and use their full potential.
That's right.
And also to multiply the impact that you as a leader can have. Yep. I've seen it so often. I mean, your self-awareness is amazing. But the fact that you've done all this stuff and you're kind of like, it's not sustainable for me to try to rush in and do it for everybody. Yeah. I'm going to stay at the head of the line. Yes. I'm going to equip you guys to tap into your full potential.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's how you multiply the leverage that you have as a leader. And you're one wise marketer for mm-hmm. sure. JJ, thank you so much for being a guest today. I loved our conversation. Where can people get in touch with you if they'd like to?
Yeah, I would say the best way is connect with me on LinkedIn. And I know you'll provide that link. I think that's probably the best way to at least get started. I'm all for virtual coffee. This has been one of the gifts of the pandemic, is I've talked to people like literally all over the globe through the pandemic, because it's a lot easier to connect with folks. So all for connecting and learning and all of that, and happy to help wherever I can. So, but connect with me on LinkedIn.
Okay, JJ, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Marketing Mambo. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, like, and share. I'd love to hear from you. Check out the show notes for my social media and contact information. Until next time, adios.